EMSradio.com.
EMS information for the next generation.
The EMS Garage is a production of EMSradio.com. You can find us on Facebook, just search EMS Garage. You can find us on Twitter at EMS Garage. Email us, emsgarage@gmail.com, or call us, 303-720-6001.
The EMS Garage.
Okay, I got the DC on the phone. They want to know if you can handle that call as well. Just confirming you are checking the patient.
Yeah, I'm like 22 is on scene.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to EMS Garage. As you can tell, once again, this is not Chris Montera. Chris is actually on the West Coast right now. Last I saw on Twitter, he was actually enjoying some wine with Ted Setla and a few other people out there. This is Scott Keir, better known as Medic SBK on the internet, and I am going to be your host this week for EMS Garage. Got a great group of people with me, so without further ado, I'd like to introduce Mr. Tim Noonan. How you doing, Tim?
Not as well as I have been. A little bit sick.
Yeah, you sound a little under the weather. How's everything else, though? Things going well?
Everything else is okay. How about you?
I can't complain. I'm at the helm again. I'm counting down the days until I can try and get out of here and go to Vegas, so we'll see how that goes. Thanks for being on tonight.
I won't be there at Vegas.
Well, you will be sorely missed, sir. Well, we're gonna put up a little sign with that nice yellow smiley face on it just so we can know that you're there in spirit.
Yeah, everybody needs a dartboard.
Exactly. thanks for coming on tonight, Tim.
Thanks for having me.
Also like to welcome Mr. William Random Ward. How you doing, sir?
All right, can you hear me?
I got you now. How's it going?
Sorry, Skype's messing up. I'm doing well. I'm doing really well. Waiting for this hurricane to come through Baltimore. Otherwise, just kind of multitasking, trying to figure out how the game's going. Watching my preseason. Go Ravens.
Absolutely. You know, it's kind of funny. Montera gave me a hard time about the comment that I made last time I hosted about everybody talking about the weather, but it seems like that's the big thing that's going on for us East Coasters right now. So it's excused this time. Thanks for coming on tonight, Random. I'd also like to welcome my companion in this podcasting world, Mr. Russell Stein.
Yay.
How's it going? How's it feel to be back to work?
It sucks.
Yeah.
I worked my first night rotation and pretty much learned why I don't like working night rotations. we made like eight calls, and a majority of them were refusals and people calling for weird stuff that I didn't quite expect. But it kept us going all night, so that was kind of the downslide of it.
Well, you know, it's beyond everything else. It's good to hear that things are going as well as they are, and it's good to hear that you're back at work with the rest of us.
Yeah, I had to explain to all the nurses at one hospital that I hadn't visited yet, and that we visit regularly, about where I was for 9 weeks. Like, where did you go? Oh, let me start from the beginning. But yeah, well, everything's gone well.
Terrific. Well, thanks for coming on again. I appreciate it.
No problem.
And finally joining us tonight from North Carolina is Mr. Matt Womble. How you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. Glad to be here.
Perfect. Now, Matt, is this your first time on Garage?
This is my first time on Garage. I feel like a Garage newbie. So y'all be gentle.
We were all there once. Why don't we start off? Why don't you tell everybody about, you know, who you are and where you're from and stuff and what you do?
All right. Born and raised in North Carolina, and kind of got my first love of EMS when as a volunteer firefighter, like most guys probably, and worked my way up, became a full-time paramedic in Durham, North Carolina. So I'll give a shout out to all the Durham folks who are listening, and did firefighting kind of as a second job, and ultimately after a stint went back to school. I went to the School of Public Health at UNC and got a master's degree in healthcare administration. Had a chance during school to work at Orange County EMS, which actually had IRV system, an independent response vehicle system under the leadership at the time of Greg Mears. So it's kind of a community paramedic styled EMS setting. It was a pretty cool place to be as a young medic. And ultimately I went on to become a hospital administrator after getting my master's degree. So in short, that's the background. What I'm doing now is I'm actually working for the State Office of Rural Health and Community Care. I work in the kind of grants and projects arena for hospitals and EMS services in our state and rural areas. And basically what I do is I write grants and try to find funding for folks who need money to do anything from quality improvement to buying a new ambulance. So a lot to talk about, but that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
That's great. That's quite the resume you got there.
Well, there's one other thing I need to add, and I appreciate the compliment, but nothing has been by design, and I hope you guys appreciate that. This has all been kind of dumb luck and asking a lot of questions, but I have had the chance to work, and actually I'm sitting as the co-chair of the Joint Committee on Rural Emergency Care. Some of you guys may be familiar, but it's the NASEMSO, the National Association of EMS Officials, and NOSOR, which is the National Organization for State Offices of Rural Health, our joint committee to look at rural emergency care issues. And Jim Dateen, the president-elect, is a great guy, but the president-elect of NASEMSO, and he's the co-chair with me. And that's a national committee. Everybody's welcome to join our calls the first Thursday of every month, and we work on anything and everything regarding rural EMS.
That's terrific. Well, like I said, it's good to have you on. We've mainly got one topic that we're going to be talking about tonight, and I think it needs to be realized that in this country, we all kind of have different routes to get to the same solution and the same destination, which is to do the best that we can for our patient. Matt, as I understand it, you were part of a group of, we'll call them influential EMS people, who got together up in Canada earlier this year to talk more about getting EMS together on a more global scale. Why don't you tell us a bit about the meeting that you had up there?
All right. The meeting was really pulled together by Gary Wingrove, who most of you all know, champion of EMS in many rights, but the grandfather really of community paramedicine in the U.S. And then his counterpart really on the Canadian side was Mike Nolan, who's the chief of the County of Renfrew and Ottawa EMS director, and a real mover and shaker, I would say, in the Canadian system, a visionary up there. So they basically got together, and from what I understand, they said, you know, we need to get together the people that we think would be interesting to have in a conversation, get them together in a room for a couple of days and see what happens. And they extended the invitation, I believe, to 17 people that they each are collectively knew. All 17 accepted, and we all showed up on our own dime, basically, to kind of have this conversation. So it was, for me personally, it was a little bit of a surprise. I've known Gary and consider him a friend, but to be considered part of this brainstorming group, I was just honored and happy to be a part of it.
And birthed from that, I guess you could say, is the platform, I guess you could call it, or the organization called International Paramedic, yes?
No, I think you nailed it, Scott. I think it is really a platform more than an organization. And when the idea formed, we were really talking about the grand poobah of coordinating bodies, some sort of a great association. And talking about that and trying to figure out how to make it work, it really dissolved around the idea of trying to formalize an association or a formal organization. And what we realized is that we can take the powers that be of the internet and the communication capabilities that we have now. EMS Garage is a great example of that, and create a virtual organization, much like the IRCP, the International Roundtable of Community Paramedicine, and have a place where a conversation can happen. And the conversation is really about the future of EMS. To a lot of the web folks out there and the folks who are interested in the next evolution of EMS, EMS 2.0 is a good example of the kind of conversation that we're having. What's going to happen next? Where are we going to go? And so really, International Paramedic was formed out of that group to say, what can we do And instead of forming an organization or association, we formed a virtual to-be-determined organization that really is to be determined by the membership and the participation by the people who are listening to this podcast, people that are following us on Twitter or Facebook, and ultimately going online and engaging in the forums and wikis to share anything and everything.
You know, I had a chance to kind of thumb through the document and kind of peruse the website a little bit too. And I'll tell you what, you guys really have something going here. I'd like to get everybody else's thoughts on it too, though. It's really great to see, first of all, you guys start to put this together and bring us together on a more global level, as I said before. Tim, I know you have a lot of thoughts about the direction that paramedicine is going. What do you think of this?
I like the idea of having not just national but international recognition. I just wonder how we come to an agreement on what sort of standards we use. I've been opposed to the national registry because I don't think that such low standards are what we should settle for. So what can we do to, you know, have both high standards and international recognition and have people accept us?
Well, Tim, I'm going to take a stab at that. It's a huge question, and quite frankly, I don't know the answer, but we all have the same issues about the immensity of kind of what we envision happening and the barriers between that vision and where we are right now. So two things. The international focus allows us to get out of our comfort zone, get out of our traditional barriers of thinking, but also get out of our kind of the entrapments of we can't do this because the state of North Carolina isn't ready to do it, or the U.S. is not, you know, ready to all get together and work together and professionalize EMS or whatever it may be. The international community, there are some great examples, and I'll use Canada and Australia as being two of the leaders that we can learn a lot from as the U.S. You automatically, you know, enlarge the conversation by becoming international. So that's kind of the backdrop of what you're putting your finger on, Tim, about the interesting and kind of dynamic of this organization is you automatically expand the horizon just because there's a lot of other cool stuff that's going on in the international arena around you know, paramedics, paramedicine, and this world we call EMS. To your point about the standards, the goal is not to set standards. The goal is to set a vision, to write documents that establish what could be done, and then leave it up to the participants to engage in it, to adopt it, to modify it, improve it. And so that's a risky adventure. You know, we don't get the chance to say, well, here's how, you know, here's how Matt Womble decides EMS should look. I mean, that's foolish to think that way. But if we can say, here's what Canada did, or here's what Australia did, or here's what the U.S. did, or Japan did, and everybody says, you know what, that makes a lot of sense. Maybe we should adopt a piece of that or all of it. Then we can incrementally move those standards to being what we all believe that they should be. And I'll give you a quick example. I don't want to run on, but on the second page of the initiation document, and everybody has access to this through the internationalparamedic.org website, naming conventions. And I'm going to step up on my stump a little bit about this. We as a profession do not have a name that recognizes us as a profession. If you ask the person on the street who works in an ambulance, you all know what the answer is going to be. It's going to be everything. It's going to be emergency worker, EMT, a paramedic, you know, and God forbid, an ambulance driver. But you'll get everything and more. In Canada, 15 years ago, they took this effort to say everybody's going to be a paramedic. EMT basics are now paramedic, primary paramedics. And in a year, they're going to work to advance their education to a certain point and ultimately change the culture over 15 years, not a short process, but 15 years later, they go from working, you know, walking up to somebody on the street and asking them who works in an ambulance and they not knowing, to walking up to the street on anybody in Ottawa, you ask them and they'll say paramedics work on ambulances. And even better than that, they'll say, I want a paramedic to respond to my house. So then you become, you know, engaged in a conversation about how to afford, from a tax-based system in the U.S., a paramedic level service. So the dynamic and it's a bunch of concepts, and it, to me personally, it rubbed me the wrong way when we first talked about it, because, you know, us that have worked in the profession, there's this hierarchy and you have to earn your stripes and blah, blah, blah. But what's most important is, as a profession, we have to have an identity. So as an example of setting the standard, International Paramedic has already set out to say, look, we need one naming convention so we can identify ourselves like doctors and nurses do. We're all paramedics. So let's forget the hype. Let's forget the, you know, hierarchy. Let's figure out how to make everybody a paramedic and then incrementally raise the educational standards so we can become a more cohesive, collective profession around what's best ultimately for the patients. So I apologize for the long diatribe, but it gets me a little excited, and it is right there in the document, and is a good example of what you were talking about, Tim.
It's terrific to hear you say that too, because, I mean, personally, I'm a big proponent of EMS 2.0. That's a big part of why and how I got into this. And you know, as Justin Troer will tell you, basically what it is it's a reboot and a redesign of the EMS system as a whole, and it can really be just about anything that you want it to be from there. So to hear you use that in describing all of this, it makes me feel good, and it's nice to hear that come from other people. And I mean, looking at it random in particular, you know, as a brand new paramedic or a newer paramedic rather, what do you see having this international platform is doing for you 5 years, 10 years down the road?
You know, I think that semantics play a huge part in any kind of profession, anything at all. I mean, think about it. Think of how many things have you been called since you got involved in EMS? And I wasn't always a quote paramedic. I was an EMT before this, or an EMTB. And even now I'm not even considered a paramedic all the time. I'm an EMTP, not an EMTB. Bypassed the I. It's complicated. Having something like this to sit down, and we all know that we all do the same job. We all respond to the same calls, doing the same thing. Unless you're in some sort of hugely different environment, if you're in most of the modernized first world, you're doing the same job. Which means there's no reason not to call us the same thing. And I posted in the chat, I actually just got off the phone with Geico. My car got sideswiped. I live downtown. It got sideswiped on the street. I had to get some repairs done to it, and I could get my deductible reduced by doing something with the police within a certain amount of time. Well, I couldn't meet their time constraints because I had to be on shift. I had to work. Well, I was trying to explain to Geico that I am a paramedic, and therefore I could not necessarily meet all their time constraints, and that I work for 24 hours. And they got in an argument with me saying that nowhere in America can you work for 24 hours. It's illegal. And I know, right? I had to explain to them, no, I'm in public safety. It happens. It's how we do our jobs at these really long shifts. And, you know, and then finally it came down to, I said, I'm an ambulance driver. Went, oh, you drive an ambulance. Oh, well then, yeah, totally. We understand. So
you should have asked them to call their local fire station and see how long they work.
Yeah, exactly. So we got through it. They were very helpful. But the fact that I had to devolve into, yes, I'm an ambulance driver. Now let's build it back up again to me being a paramedic. There's people don't know what we do, and a lot of that is because we haven't given ourselves a voice. And I think the international paramedic, you know, seeing what they are trying to do, seeing that they're actually looking to unify all of these different delivery methods, and the fact that you specify specifically the paramedic is a professional practitioner, the paramedic service is the provider of emergency medical services staffed by paramedics, and paramedicine is the discipline. That is the easiest, simplest way to break it down. And I think that the model that Canada is working off of is perfect.
Well,
so I can't. Oh, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to agree with you because I think, you know, growing up in the system, you know, we get educated on our own system, and we take pride in the uniqueness of each of the levels and the uniqueness of the service. But in the big, big picture to everybody else, it is absolutely confusing. So even our profession that we call EMS, we're not even EMS professionals because technically doctors in the ER are EMS. Technically 911 operators are EMS as well. So it's just we really need to back up a little bit and think about how this looks from the taxpayer. We're going to take this from the, well, from the Canadian perspective as well, technically, but U.S. where reimbursement for anything and everything we do is going to primarily going to come from the taxpayer. We have to think about it from their perspective. And I think, go ahead.
The point that you make is so, I mean, I want to be called a paramedic. I'm relatively new. Yeah, I've been in fire rescue for 6 years now. I've been a paramedic for a year, but I've run a ton of calls. I've got a huge amount of experience, thankfully, to the services that I worked in, under my belt, and I want to be called a paramedic. I worked my ass off for it. Why shouldn't I be called that? But specifying that the problem that we're having right now is knowing how the public perceives us and recognizing that is the bigger problem, I think, is important. And I think that's where you guys are really on point.
Well, you also mentioned that you think that we're primarily paid for by the public, and that's going to depend on location entirely. There are some cities where 911 EMS is entirely private, and there are other places where it's entirely public. You'll never receive a bill, and you got to watch where there's somewhere in between. So, you know, we do also have to educate the public about that.
That was Tim. This is Matt. I absolutely agree with you, and it is an overstatement to say it's the public, but, I'm gonna be truly, at the root of the patriotic word here, for the people. I think that anything and everything we do is in essence a combination of public service, public health, and healthcare. And as we evolve, as we grow, we're becoming more and more healthcare, which is it's a great part of the evolution of our profession. But at its root, it's always going to be one of the dependent upon services from a public service perspective. And the better we can become at educating our employers, frankly, and again, we can go about talking about the details of how that works, the contracts, who pays the bills, CMS, and all the payers and all that kind of stuff. But ultimately, the better we become at educating our patients with what they get when they call 911. I think the better off not only we will be as a profession, because this really, quite frankly, is not about improving the paramedic profession solely. It's hopefully an after effect, quite frankly. But frankly, it's allowing us to do a better job taking care of our patients. And if we can educate them about what we do, what level of services are available, then they can engage in the process of paying for that service, whether it's through insurance or whether it's through taxpayer dollars.
And one of the things that controls what we do is the way we are reimbursed, which is largely based on Medicare reimbursement. And that says that we're primarily transport and not patient care. We don't get reimbursed well for providing care on scene and then leaving the patient on scene or directing them to some alternative other than the emergency department. So if we're going to control what we are, we need to do something about how we're paid for it, because I go to my boss and I say, we should do this differently. And my boss will say, we're not going to get paid for that.
Isn't that part of Medicare reform, part of the FICAMS legislation? That's, I guess, somewhere in committee.
I haven't paid attention to what's going on. I know they will throw all sorts of ideas out there, and everything will sound better than whatever is eventually passed.
It kind of degrades itself as it goes through the committees.
Well, doesn't EMS?
It does. It certainly does. Now, Matt, I'll tell you what. Just looking over the document, for the international paramedic here. I really like a lot of the stuff, mainly that you guys have in the mission statement, you know, unbiased information, direction, and support to facilitate the best decisions regarding the provision of paramedic services and emergency medical responders, you know, a single voice for paramedics. You guys have some really great stuff here. Now, if you want to talk about the first challenge I really see you facing, I want to know how, if you've done any planning for this, is how do you take this information and disseminate it to a workforce that is so severely fragmented? I mean, you're really talking about initiating, or I'm sorry, infiltrating rather, a lot of different sandboxes and a lot of people who are very territorial. How do you guys plan on breaking that down?
Well, you know what? It's an interesting question. I'm going to go back to the kind of the conversation Tim and I were having before about the international perspective. This is kind of a show up and play kind of an opportunity. So there are no barriers for anybody to show up and have a conversation and help even direct recommendations potentially that would come out of international paramedic, like the paramedic conversation we just had, paramedic service, and paramedicine. So it's an open conversation. Now, in the U.S., it's very hard for me and for all of us, I think, to see how we can get everybody to work together to change a system that is so very territorial, that we've got firefighters fighting paramedics and they work in the same station, if not for the same service. We've got nurses who will come out and vehemently oppose any potential role or perceived scope creep of a paramedic and tinkering in their world of medicine. And it's unfortunately a barrier that we're going to have to deal with. There's no simple solution to that, other than my hope is, frankly, that the silver lining on a lot of this economic downturn will force us to make some very difficult decisions, and some of those decisions are going to be based on innovation. So putting that aside, the international perspective becomes a big sandbox where those little sandboxes disappear. And what I hope to see, and what I got really excited about in Ottawa talking about this, was what if we talk to the UN? The United Nations is a group that formed after World War II, and the idea is to get the people together to solve problems on an international level. What if they were our target audience? What if the World Health Organization, which is the UN's health agency, started coming to a group of paramedics? And again, just to be clear, paramedics represents the entire EMS world in a name, but what if they were to come to the International Paramedic and say, how do we address this problem of a developing country trying to evolve their emergency response system or emergency medical service system? Can you help us with that? Can you put us in touch with people that can then show and share us their protocols and practices? What about best practice? Who's got the best system out there that can have the best outcomes for the cheapest amount of money? To be honest, that's where change is going to happen faster. The U.S., and I hope this isn't true, but the U.S. may be the slowest to adopt new models and new systems. That actually has been shown not to be true around community paramedics. Any of you all who have followed that, there seems to be a pretty significant shift to fill in this kind of healthcare reform vacuum of post-acute care with this idea of a community paramedic playing a primary care bridge role, which is, in my opinion, the ultimate evolution of EMS paramedicine, actually established in the agenda for the future. But, you know, the U.S. has to get out of its own way, in a way, and get out of this mentality of these are all the sandboxes and we have to make everybody happy, because, quite frankly, making everybody happy is not doing what's best for the patient. And the international the international table is going to allow us to say, here's what's best for the patient. And then the U.S. or whoever has an opportunity to say, we want that. How do we get that? And then it starts to break down some of those barriers without having to get everybody in the room and get everybody to sing Kumbaya.
I love it. And, you know, it's really the direction to go, and it's where we ultimately want to end up. And I really think you guys have a good thing going. RJ, my friend, you've been pretty quiet over there. What's your take on this? What do you think about this?
I think everybody's pretty much beat me to it. Because I had the same questions that Tim did about, you know, what we've been talking about for the past 30 or 40 minutes. So I'm pretty much just sitting back and getting beat to the punch.
Tim can do that to you, that is for sure.
Yes.
And you know, the singular voice is staggering to me, because it's something that we fail time and time again to accomplish on a national level. To see an undertaking that's trying to get it on an international level, to me is just an amazing thing. And I'll tell you what, Matt, you guys, while I think we can all agree here that at least for the United States, you got your work cut out for you, but I definitely think you're moving in the right direction here.
Well, let me clarify something, Scott, because this is much bigger than me. Even with the 17 participants who were a lot of fun to work with, anybody who you guys are reaching through your podcast, anybody on the podcast, this has got to become our effort, not my effort, not Gary Wingrove or Mike Nolan or any of the other names, Chris Montero. You know, just like EMS 2.0, just like Chronicles of EMS and the discussions that are going on, the opportunity that's presented is ultimately to participate and put stakes in the ground and move forward collectively as an international group of thinkers. And so ultimately, this is what would be a sign of success for me is if I stepped away and things kept going. If all 17 members said, you know, we are retiring, we're going to go sit in our small Mexican fishing village and never be heard from again, an international paramedic has a life. That is success, because ultimately what's going to define the ability of international paramedic to have an impact is the collective voice. So, you know, this is a launching pad. This is not a CEO, executive director driven effort. This is an opportunity for everybody to participate.
Well, it's what we've found works also, this grassroots effort that we've been pushing for, at least in the United States, because we have the same problems here and just across the nation with linking services together and making us feel all as one, because everybody across the nation might have different terminology for themselves, might do a different aspect of the job, might have different struggles, but once again we're all doing the same job, and this is a different perspective, and it's a worldwide perspective on this for the same problems that we had nationally, which is perfect.
Well, it's the beginning, and I appreciate that. I think it's exciting. I mean, this is something that could be huge, but we've got to continue to get momentum, continue to get the word out, continue to get people participating, because the chance for failure is as great a chance for success in this thing. All the best intentions don't make this thing work. So we've got the foundation laid, we've got the pieces put together, and if you look at our website, it's nothing compared to some of the best out there, but it's the very beginnings that will be filled in with the content from the people who hopefully will take this to heart and take this as an opportunity to play a part of what they want EMS to be. So
well,
I'm excited.
No, I wouldn't. Well, I would not be flying to Vegas. I mean, I would be flying to Vegas ordinarily if I could, but I wouldn't be going down there if I didn't think that this kind of movement had serious traction.
Well, I'm glad you're going to Vegas. I wish I was. I know a bunch of us are. Setla and Montero and Matthias or Matt from Denmark, and I don't know who else is going to be out there, but it's a good group. I hope this is talked about. I hope that EMS 2.0 is talked about, Chronicles of EMS, all the great work that's going on. Medic 999, you know, I'll do a shout out to him in the UK. You know, there's a lot of good people out there that are thinking and wanting to do something together, and our hope is really to give the forum to do that. So this is not a union. This is not a exclusionary bunch at all. We want any and all comers to come and figure out how to make this thing work.
So you mentioned the website. What is the website, just so we can get it out there as much as possible?
www.internationalparamedic.org.
What do you guys, what do you have there right now?
It's pretty much a shell. It's kind of a wiki site in a way. But frankly, it's got the initiation document on there. You can pretty much click on it. It's got a little bit of a description about who we're calling to the site. It's again, specifying that this is not just for quote unquote paramedics. This is for all emergency responders to get, or emergency medical responders to kind of get behind and figure out what their part is. But the pieces that need fleshing out are the wikis, which would be, hey, I want to tell everybody what the EMS system looks like in North Carolina, or I want to post a picture of my EMS service ambulance and what it looks like. I want to post our protocols. Could be that too. And that's up to the users to define what's in the wiki boxes. The forums section is really just kind of your typical classic, question and answer discussion forum, but as we build the content, we'll be able to categorize it a little bit. And just to give you some kind of early indicators of what we're trying to build and some of the Twitter feedback that I've personally gotten, and our Twitter name, by the way, is iParamedic, just to get that shout out there as well. The question is, what if we had an inventory, of all of the different EMS services and what their standards and criteria were, what their curriculums were, even what their educational standards, what their protocols look like, what their reciprocity agreements were, et cetera, et cetera, for every country in the free world. I mean, I'm kind of dating myself with that term. I hadn't heard that in a while, but ultimately, that would be a really cool database to have. And then you can do apples to apples comparison about, well, this, Canadian paramedic means this and a U.S. paramedic means this, and start to do that data sharing. Very, very similar. You guys remind me, what did, I think it was episode one of Setla's version of the, help me out.
Seat at the Table or Chronicles?
I think it was part one of Chronicles where was in set in San Francisco.
Yes.
Okay. So that conversation that happened pretty much the entire time is what we could replicate online, except 100-fold over. And I think what they're doing, frankly, I think what they're doing is awesome. But we need to be able to collect that data. We need to be able to put it into a format so you can say, well, what is the U.S. doing versus Uruguay or South Africa or Japan? And then make those connections. I mean, there's no reason we can't make international connections using translation devices and everything else to have conversations about content and research and education. I just think that's the vision, and that's what we really hope to build.
Well, even without translation, you've got South Africa, you've got New Zealand, you've got England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, all these places that speak English that aren't even represented on there yet. And, that's probably a language that is a second language in a lot of European countries.
It is. We've got Denmark, and he's going to kill me for slaughtering his name, but Matthias Duschel, he's ultimately from Sweden, but he's a good example of somebody that's a mover and shaker over there. And Canada is represented. We've got folks in Dubai already, on this Ottawa group, the steering committee, as it's being kind of coined, I guess, or it's called. But there's no boundaries really, whether it's English speaking to start or whether it's anything and everything after that. The conversation is really what we're after.
Sam, any thoughts?
Yeah, we haven't mentioned that Sam's here. I think she might just be listening at this point. I know she was on another conference call at the time, and I'm going to guess that she probably still is. Matt, if somebody wanted to get involved, where would be a good place to start?
Social media, I think, is an evolutionary thing for International Paramedic, but Twitter, I mentioned, is iParamedic. Facebook is International Paramedic, and our website is internationalparamedic.org. We have a Google group also I failed to mention off of the website that's going to kind of be yet another way that we can communicate, share documents, those kind of things. But frankly, it probably depends on the flavor that the person is most familiar with in terms of social media networking. Twitter is difficult because it's little short blips, but you can post little links and URLs in there. The website is the central hub. So get online is what I'd ask people to do if they're interested. Register, put their name in, if they want, put a email in and just allow us to connect with them and keep them in the loop. And that's the beginning. So that's where we are, and that's what we want people to do.
You know, I think as you talk about this, my personal favorite thing about everything that I'm hearing is the level of open-mindedness that you all are walking into this with. It's really quite refreshing. I mean, let's face it, there are some pretty big names on this list. There are names that I recognize, you know, the Michael Nolan and Mike Touchstone, obviously Gary Wingrove. It's nice to see, and some guy named Chris Montero is on here too, but whoever he is. It's nice to see these people that are so well respected as leaders really taking interest in what is going to happen for me 10 years down the road, for random 15 or 20 years down the road, and really looking at our careers and the amount of forward thinking that's currently going on is very refreshing, for lack of a better way of putting it.
Yes, it is.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, the evolution of this is going to take decades. This is not for me or for Chris or Mike Touchstone or any of the guys on the list. I'm going to tell you a story about as a relatively new medic sitting in our base station reading the agenda for the future for the first time. I was absolutely in awe. And that was a document that I've come to know later as being influenced in part by North Carolina representatives. But ultimately, seeing the problems that we all see in EMS, being the middleman and determining whether somebody should go to the hospital or not and whether somebody should pay the bill or not, seeing these chronic issues with our healthcare system and being in a position of really limited ability to make decisions. It's go to the ER or stay home in a lot of cases. We have a front row seat to how broken our system is. And if you have a heart for the patients, which quite frankly, I don't think that anybody who stays in the profession doesn't, the lights and siren wear off very quickly. And it's a tough field, night and day rotating shifts and the grief mop scenario that I'll steal from Bring Out the Dead and the Chronicles there. But frankly, everybody who is in the profession has a heart to do something different. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in the seats we're in. So in 96, when I read that document, I knew something had to change. And I know every one of you who are on this podcast listening, trying to figure out where you are in the profession, just starting out or have been in it for 20, 30 years, that's got to be a part of who you are, or you wouldn't be on here. And this is hopefully the next iteration of that, but it also opens the door to participate. And, I don't know how to say it other than that, but this has got to be a 50-year, 100-year effort, and this is hopefully just the beginning of that. So Montero and I will be retired and sitting in lawn chairs and retirement communities. So, by the time any of this really makes a significant difference. But, frankly, to be a part of it is enough. And that's exciting.
And you're really talking to the right audience with all of this, too. We're at such a crossroads right now. And, I mean, let's face it. Nobody listens to these podcasts, like you said, or reads blogs like Rogue Medic or Hybrid Medic or EMS in the New Decade or Rescue Random's blog, and I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the name, of course, but nobody reads any of those because they're content with where they are in their career and they're they're content with where things are at right now. Random, plug it. What's your blog called?
I'm sorry, did I just destroy your line there? I'm sorry, Scott.
You just slam dunked me, my friend.
You can find me at www.randommedic.com. The blog is called Red Light Express.
Okay.
Thanks, Scott.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, Red Light Express. Thank you. That's what I couldn't think of. I'm sorry.
Gosh.
Oh, man, I failed again.
I'm going to change the name of mine to spreadingcontentment.com.
You've been taking too much cold medicine. But, you know, nobody listens to these or gets into this stuff, like I said, without a desire for change. And you look at some of the projects that are out there right now. You look at all the podcasts. You look at International Paramedic and what you're doing. Chronicles of EMS. Firestorm being another one. I don't know if you're familiar with that one or not, Matt. But you're exactly right. There is such a problem with the healthcare system. And it's really starting to be brought to light. And really, we are one of the first links in the chain that gets this done. And if we don't fix what we're doing, how can you expect anything after us to really work effectively as well? Silence.
Well, guys, I think I'm losing you here. Something that's breaking up pretty bad. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Okay. Well, I'll roll on. I think I'll try to answer the question as I understand it, but people who are interested, I think, have a heart for it. My jaded perspective of healthcare in general is that if you're in it long enough, stop caring. And it's because you can't care and continue doing it. And my call to those people who may be interested in this kind of thing is, you can't give up on wanting to make a change or wanting to make things better, because it can be better. And, it may not be better for us or, that patient that we see that night, but it may be better for the patient down the road or the medic down the road. And it's tough. I mean, healthcare in the U.S. especially chews up and spits out the people who want to make a big difference. And that could be a whole nother show. But nurses, docs, paramedics, anybody who deals with the police, fire, the same thing. You see the worst of the worst, and you can only make an incremental change. And when the system is broken fundamentally, then it just burns you out. And so, frankly, the point of that is International Paramedic can be a way to make incremental change. And for anybody who's willing to run 100 calls and make a difference one time, I'm happy to say that International Paramedic may give you that opportunity.
That's terrific. We're kind of coming up close to an hour here, so we're going to start wrapping it up. Matt, just one more time, tell us where we can find the International Paramedic at.
Again, the hub is the internationalparamedic.org website. There is a Google group that you'll find off of that, but we ask people to register and log in and kind of start the conversation on the forums and the wikis. There are also the social media sites, the International Paramedic Facebook site, and the iParamedic Twitter locale. So I just really want to extend the conversation to as many people as we can and build momentum, really work with EMS 2.0, Chronicles of EMS, and all the good forward-thinking folks out there to kind of figure out how to open and expand the conversation about improving EMS care for our patients and the paramedic profession as a result.
That's terrific. And on behalf of all of us, we really appreciate what you're doing. Matt, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, how would they find you?
The easiest is probably my email address. It's mwomble, W-O-M-B-L-E, at internationalparamedic.org. I also am, temporarily heading the iParamedic Twitter site, so I'm not a big Twitter user trying to do as much as I can, but as everybody has a busy life, it's difficult to find all the time that we need to do all the things we need to do. But you can also reach out to me there, and ultimately, if you know any of the guys that are around, I'm trying to either meet them or already know them, so ask how to get in touch with me, and I'd be happy to have a one-on-one, have a discussion, because frankly, this stuff is important to me just as like it is to you guys.
Well, thank you again for everything you're doing, and thanks for coming on tonight. I appreciate it.
It's been an absolute pleasure, and I appreciate you guys having the forum set up to do this, and I hope you guys reach a lot of people.
All right. Russell Stein, where can we find you?
I am hybridmedic.com and pretty much hybridmedic anywhere.
And if I recall correctly, you're not going to be joining us in Vegas, are you?
I won't. I'll probably be up north somewhere, so I'll be going in the opposite direction of the superheated air that all of you will be inhaling. I'll probably be by a lake somewhere farther north.
Did you just say we're going to be dealing with a lot of hot air in Vegas? That's not really. Yeah.
I meant weather-wise, but I mean Montero will be there, so.
Ouch.
And he's not here, so I can say that.
And he's sitting there editing this right now going, "Oh, come on. That's exactly what he's saying. You're off the email list."
That's okay. I'll always be able to get in on those vocal conversations.
We'll find you somehow, right?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for being here tonight, and you will be sorely missed in Vegas next week.
I'll catch you guys in Baltimore the next go-round.
All right. We'll be looking forward to seeing you there.
Yeah.
Mr. Tim Noonan.
RogueMedic.com, occasionally on Paramedicine101.com, both of them at EMSblogs.com, and on EMS Research Podcast, which is researchems.com.
Well, terrific, Tim. I know you're feeling under the weather tonight. I appreciate you coming on and giving me a hand tonight.
I appreciate you having me.
Anytime, sir. Mr. William Random Ward. What was that blog again?
Oh, now you know who I am. Now you know who I am. Whatever, Scott.
Where can we find you, sir?
You can find me on Twitter at WMRandomWard. That's random, just like the word. And yes, I've heard all the jokes, and Russell will remind you that I've heard all the jokes. Additionally, you can find me at www.randommedic.com. That is the Red Light Express blog hosted underneath the First Responders Network blog network. I'm right there next to Scott, if he looks.
You're there somewhere. Well, listen, I'm looking forward to seeing you in the coming days here in Las Vegas. It's going to be a big fun reunion. Before we go, Mr. Montero made me promise to plug the next EMS Radio Star. Currently, we are taking auditions and submissions. If you are interested in applying and throwing your hat into the ring, you need to go to emsgarage.com/NERS. It's spelled like nerds, but without the D. I think it's almost appropriate. All you need is passion, a stellar personality, and an ability to speak on mic, which some of us fail on from time to time, clearly, but, you know, it's a lot of fun to do. So if you want a chance to get your own EMS-related podcast, that's what you got to do. I am Scott Keir, better known all over the internet as MedicSBK on Twitter. That's my website, or you can email me at medicsbk@gmail.com. Also, just a quick plug, if you keep your eyes peeled next week to the Twitter machine, you will see the initial release of the new First Responders Network magazine called Interventions, featuring articles from Random Ward, Sam Bradley, myself, and a cast of others, plus some video content from Mr. Ted Setla. It's going to be quite the endeavor, and we're really, really excited to be able to unveil it to all of you. To those of you who are going to be in Vegas with us, I look forward to seeing you there. To those of you who aren't going to be in Vegas, my only question to you is, what are you waiting for? You're missing out. For all of us here at EMS Garage, I am Scott here, and